If his love doesn't make us sing, there's got to be something wrong with us, because I tell you, that's a good song. And sometimes it's just good to sing. Sing praises to the Lord. And sometimes it's good just to put a smile on our faces. I have a pastor joke this morning. Duck hunting with the pastor. It's okay, we're a Pentecostal church, you'll get it. A farmer took his pastor duck hunting with him one day. He called the ducks with his collar, and bam, he got a duck. And the farmer's bird dog ran on top of the water and got the duck and brought it back. The pastor shook his head, wiped off his glasses. The farmer called the duck call again, and blam, the dog walked on the water and retrieved the second duck back. And the pastor said, "If that happens again, I've got to ask, what is up with that dog?" Well, here again, the third time, the farmer called the ducks, and blam, he killed another one. Well, the dog ran across the pond, grabbed the duck, and brought it back to the farmer. And the pastor said, "What on earth is up with that dog? I've seen him get a duck three times and carry it back on top of the water." And the farmer said, "Yeah, I haven't taught him how to swim yet." Silly, silly. I knew you'd get it. Dogs can't walk on water without the grace of God and his miraculous power. But see, that was a blessed dog. Thank you. All the time. And all the time? That's not just a little Christian cliche. It's absolute truth. If you ever wondered if he was good or not, quit wondering and just start enjoying it. You got up this morning, you know he's good. Amen. Well, I guess, Bill, when you were talking, I was thinking about our opening scripture this morning, and I'll show how that relates. I didn't think about it quite in this light, but your testimony brought it on. So this is, we're having communion this morning, as you all have clearly seen, and I had announced that last week. And also, it's our Mission Sunday, where we receive an in-house our missions offering to help send someone overseas. Well, Bill is going in May, and I'm going to India in July. The reason I'm going in July, that is the worst time of the year to go to India. It's the monsoon rainy season. But the reason's different this time. Pastor Sherrard is, his legs, his knees, his overall health is failing very quickly. And when we go to Talavati, the mountain villages, it requires a lot of walking. And Sherrard can hardly walk. When he writes an email now, he sits at his computer for a few minutes to type a little bit, and then he has to go sit or lay down again before he can come back to the keyboard and finish the letter. And I don't want to come to the point where he can no longer go, because it takes him as my host to take me to those villages, and I'm going to have to trust God about the rain. But there's an urgency in my spirit about going. There's always been a desire, but this year it's different. Last year, you all know what happened. Our desire was to go when all the conditions were right. That's not faith. The conditions are horrible to go this year, and I'm going. And so, when we do our offering for the missions, that's a very special thing, because it isn't just for Tom or for Bill or for myself. It's any one of you that God puts it in your heart and opens up a door of opportunity to send you out. We don't just like to support missionaries and missions work. We like to send people. It's always been a very important vision for this church when we planted it 25 years ago, is that it would be known around the world. We had no idea how that would happen, but it did. So as we come to the opening scripture this morning, Psalm 103, the first five verses, I've used these scriptures quite often in communion because prophetically this speaks of such a covenant with our Heavenly Father and the blessings and the benefits of that. It's amazing to find it in the Old Covenant, but to me when I see this, you know, this was under the Old Covenant, but in the New Testament it says that the New Covenant was greater with better promises. And if this is so good, and yet in the New Covenant it's even better, I'm for the more better that you talked about. You made a comment about things get more gooder or more better. I say more gooder. You know, you say more better. We're talking the same talk. And so when we read these scriptures together, just think about our relationship with the Lord and the benefits of that, the blessings of what we have. We have sometimes in our thinking, non-believers get under your skin and you get irritated and they frustrate you and you can't seem to connect with them. Well, you can't, because they're not of the same spirit as you. How can a non-believer understand the Holy Spirit? And sometimes we forget that and we just want to bless them with a brick. Boom! You know? And we forget to realize they cannot understand. And so we have such an advantage in this life. And we all have stuff, we all have storms of life we go through. But I'll tell you, a person that goes through the loss of a loved one and there's no salvation, there's no relationship with God in that family is in absolute agony and torment. But we as believers, no matter what we experience, we have a relationship with the Lord. And it never goes away. It's vibrant. It's full. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of each one of us as believers. You talk about an advantage? My gosh, that just is off the charts. This is Old Covenant. But as we get into this, look at the benefits and now think, fast forward 2,000 years and think about the spiritual aspects of these things. Let's read. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, Tom put up the New Revised Standard Version because it changes a few of the old English words so that it kind of gives you, if you're not into the old English, I've been saved for 30 years and it doesn't bother me because I have done a lot of word studies and I can read that and know that that's what it says. But for those of you that maybe haven't been saved too awfully long or you have trouble with the wording of the old English, sometimes I do like to bring a flavor. And this is the scripture that goes on the Renewed Life in Jesus website every week. It's the scripture for the morning that we have. But I just want to expound on this a little bit because we may not get a lot of more time in the service for more of the word before we have communion and music and offering and huggy break. And this is an action-packed day. And if you came a little bit late, don't worry about it because God will make that up to you. Just hang in there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes when I think about the soul, we understand as New Testament believers that the soul is the mind, the will, the intellect, the thoughts. It's where all of our five physical senses come from. And this says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David realized that there were times when he was hiding in a cave from Saul's army that was pursuing him. And his mind wasn't thinking about blessing the Lord. He was like, "How can I save my butt?" ever get like that where you weren't thinking too much about praising the Lord? You were worried about getting out of a mess, getting out of a jam, something you got into one way or the other, and that consumed your thoughts. And I've said this publicly, and I want to say it again. Maybe you've arrived there, Bill, because you've been a carpenter a lot longer than me, but I have a carpenter savior, so hopefully his influence will rub off. I have never yet, after being saved 30 years, whacked my thumb really hard with a hammer, and my first words were, "Oh, praise the Lord." Now, I am not there yet. If you are, then you got a rubber hammer, because it hurt. It do hurt. And my first words aren't praise the Lord. So there are times when you have to speak to your soul by the spirit man and say, "Soul, you will praise the Lord. I command you in the name of Jesus." You got to talk to yourself once in a while, because your mind and your thought life may not be at that moment thinking, "This is not a good opportunity to praise the Lord." But the spirit man says it's always a good opportunity to praise the Lord. And we have to learn as we mature as believers to separate that which is spirit and that which is flesh. So sometimes you just got to get a hold of yourself and say, "Wake up! It's time to praise the Lord. And all that is within me." It's the all part that really gets us, because there are parts of us still that aren't so consumed with His presence that the all part is not kicking in and praising Him. We hold back. But God wants everything. Like Peggy said, He already owns it all. Why fight over stuff? Why worry about stuff? You know, the Old Testament says, give 10% to your tithe. Well, that's being a cheapskate, really, because in the New Covenant, He demands it all. Why am I going to worry? Why should I say, what? How much of my money am I going to keep for myself? Or how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? He wants all of everything, even your whole being. It's not about just a little bit and a little bit when it feels good, and we go through tough times and we retake control of our lives to navigate through and think we can fix everything. But it says, "All that is within me, bless His holy name." And it's really hard sometimes to come to that point, because sometimes we just don't feel like it, and that's the problem, that feeling thing. Feelings are so misleading. We got to get beyond feelings to get into the faith realm. And if you release your faith, you'll feel good. They go together. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He said it again, two times. There must be something to that. "And do not forget all His benefits." If you go and you fill out a job application and then you're blessed enough to go and talk to a prospective employer, what's one of the things you sit down at the table and you talk about before you're considering a new job? What's it going to pay me? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? But you see, that's worldly unsaved thinking. That's how the unsaved approach a job. Now the believer goes for a job. What should his or her attitude be? What have I got that I can benefit this company? What's in me that God has put in me that's going to be a blessing to this company? Is my presence, if they hire me, going to make that company a better company? And I look at that company as, that's a vessel that God has chosen to meet my needs. Therefore, I approach a job with, I should honor and respect them. They were called of God to meet my needs. I can't go around and badmouth them among employees, bunch of cheapskates. I've worked here 40 years and never got a raise. Well, the raise you got was a raise up into glory in the presence of the Lord, and you bask in that glory. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you think about benefits. Well, see, the world thinks about benefits. Unemployment, Social Security, welfare, WIC, there are over 600 federal government programs that benefit people. 67 at our state level if you live in Vermont. Everybody's interested in benefits in the natural. What about benefits in the spiritual realm? Have you ever thought about how the benefits that you have of being a Christian? See, this is a real soul-searching day, but the Holy Spirit is very strong in this place today, and He wants to search the deepest parts of our being and our hearts today. This isn't going to be like other services. That was last week's manna. This is today. It's going to be a lot of ad-libbing today. Don't forget all of his benefits. And then he lists some of them. Who forgives all our sins? Did you notice that this is written in the present tense? Any of you English scholars? I love that. Because the implication is that whatever day you get up, whatever day you fall short of the mark, whatever day you miss, you don't have to spend the next however long it takes to beat yourself up and have a pity party over something you've done wrong. Today's the day of forgiveness. What did you bring with you today that's not made right yet? That's none of my business. But today is a day of forgiveness. Today is a new day. God's mercy is new every morning. Today is forgiveness. Who heals all our diseases? Today's a day of healing. You see, these are written in the present. Even though these words were thousands of years ago, they still speak volumes today. And should we be allowed to have our Bibles in public in this nation for another 100 years, you can pick it up in Psalm 103. It's going to say the same thing. Forgiveness and healing is still available. Why? Because we have an everlasting covenant with our Heavenly Father. That was the old covenant. The new covenant has relationship. Christ is in me, and we are one in the Father. That's awesome. Jesus prayed that prayer in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're talking about oneness. We're one in each other. It's like our spiritual DNA has been infused among each other, and all of Jesus is in each of us. We can't escape each other. God has knit his body together, and we need each other. So we have oneness. Who redeems, I like this, who redeems my life from the pit. Oh my gosh. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the pit. It was really the pit, man. But what's really neat is Jesus came right to the bottom of that pit and lifted me out. When Phyllis was talking about the people coming to her with drug and alcohol problems, I've been there and done that. And along with my salvation of 30 years ago came my instantaneous deliverance from 13 years of alcohol and drug addiction. Those 13 years nearly ruined my life. I had a wonderful career in the Air Force. And when I got out, that's what I got into. Rock and roll, drugs, alcohol, the whole bit, that whole lifestyle. But when I got saved, just like that. But you know why? Because I wanted to be. When I came to Christ, I didn't want to drag any of that trash into that relationship. And I heard about not only the power of the gospel to save, but the power of the gospel to deliver us from whatever we're carrying, unforgiveness, hardness of heart. We don't have to live like we used to live. God has given us a quality of life that takes us way beyond. Paul said, why should I go back to these beggarly elements where we live like beggars, always looking for someone else to meet our needs, always looking to ourselves to try to do the best we could to get by. And if we're not mindful, we'll carry that into our faith. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, suffering for the Lord. Oh, it's such a burden. Hooey. Jump up and shout. Gracious sakes, get a hold of who you are and who he is in you. This is good stuff. This is good for our spirit man. We're not going to hear this on CNN, Corrupt News Network, never. Ain't going to hear that. Ain't going to hear it in the airport TVs. Ain't going to hear it. This is really life encouraging. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? When I think of a crown, I think of royalty. I don't think of Miss Universe or Mr. America, whoever. I think of Mr. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he shares his royalty with his children. How are you going to handle scriptures like, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom"? You don't have to beg and crawl on your hands and knees to get a little glimpse of that little crust of bread called heaven. That little thing that's called the life of being saved, being a Christian. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the things of the kingdom. You are blessed. You have little comprehension, and me too. When I say you, I mean me. So, I'm beginning to learn that this thing is so much bigger than we are. It's so much more. When you say God is good, it is truly a truth. Why should he share his goodies with us? Because he wants to. Because he loves us with no conditions attached. This is profound to me, that I would find these scriptures in the Old Testament that talk so graciously of our new covenant relationship with him. I mean, you put the Holy Ghost in here and all these things come to life. These are words on a page, but when the Holy Ghost gets in there and brings those things to life in you and gives you revelation, illumination, should have left that light up here, Tom. Bzz, did you get it? Yes, sir. Who satisfies you with good as long as you live. Wow, get a hold of that. Let your thinkers get into that. Who satisfies you? An unsaved spirit is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. It can't seem to get enough. And so when you think you got enough, something else comes along, you got to try that. Dabble this, dabble that. It's like going downstairs today. There's all kinds of goodies on the table, so you got to try everything to be satisfied. Not me. If something's good, I'll take all it'll fit on my plate and I'll be happy. And it's the same with the things of the kingdom. There are so many good things that he satisfies my spirit. I've learned to be content, whether I have a lot of things or whether I don't. Because my contentment is not fixed in things. My contentment is in my relationship with him. And that I am very much satisfied. If that's all I have, that's all I need, isn't it? That's right. And it's the same for all of us. So don't spend all of your life striving to get stuff. God strove all of eternity to get you. And I'll tell you, he's been around a lot longer than we've been. And he got what he came for. He got your heart. It's all he ever really wanted. And here, Bill, is when I thought of you when you stood up. Who satisfies you with good as long as you live. And he didn't say how long, he just said as long. So don't worry about when it's your time. Okay? Don't worry about that. He's going to satisfy you with good as long as you live. And when your body lays down and your spirit goes to be with the Lord, and you enter that eternity period, he's going to satisfy you with good even then. So you don't have to worry about whether God's good or not. He's always going to be good to you. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I saw that picture. Was that you that posted that picture, Ging, of Bill in his workshop when he was young and his beard was black and his hair was black? Yeah? And then you show up today and I saw that and my mind was thinking of that picture that I just saw that this morning as I was writing these scriptures down to bring this morning. I saw that picture because that's where it's at. You know, you look at your life back when you had hair, or when your hair wasn't artificially colored or whatever people do to their hair. You know, nobody knows but you, and it doesn't matter. But the things of the Lord are so good and they're so satisfying. Oh dear, we won't get into the teeth deal. There's a renewing of the spirit that takes place every day so that we feel like supermen, that we can leap tall buildings with a single bound. You know, spiritually, the overcoming life that Christ, that's powerful. That's worth celebrating. So when actually at the time of the service when we hand out these elements, that's what I hope will be in your minds. Jesus said, as often as we do it in remembrance of him and think about these things. Because in a few minutes, we're going to be praising and worshiping and blow the roof off of this place with excitement. It's already cracked on both sides, so we're working on it, okay? Don't worry, it won't fall in. It's going up. Wow, I better stop before I get too excited and can't continue. That'll never happen. Oh, my. As we were just finishing the last time through the chorus of Come See and His Arms Are Open, I was thinking about Jesus even in his death. His arms were open and his palms were out. To receive all who would believe on him, all who would come to him. Matthew 8:17 says that he, meaning Jesus, bore all manner of sickness and infirmities upon himself. So not only did he shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins, but he himself bore all sickness and disease. He made provision. That's another blessing we have of the new covenant, is that those things were provided. In Isaiah 53, it talks about he bore all our sorrows and carried our griefs. So when we have communion in just a few minutes, contemplate, let it be a quiet time, which is hard for me, but I'll do my best. I want to read two more verses of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because it's important that we never attempt to do this as a church doctrine, a church tradition, no certain Sunday. It's as the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal about doing these things together. And last week I knew it would be today. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes these very gracious words. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "After the same manner, cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as you drink, do it in remembrance of me.'" So this is a time of remembrance. It's a time to reflect over the course of our lives. Maybe some of you don't really remember the particular day that you got saved. But just think about Jesus. It's not about us at this point. It's about him and what he did for each one of us. Think of where you were in life at the time you had a remembrance or an acknowledgement of who Jesus is. And I won't say that who Jesus was. He's now. He lives forevermore. And as we hand out the elements, we always do the bread first, because that's the order at the table. And one of the things that fascinates me about the scripture that Paul talked about, the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And Judas was still at the table. I don't know if many of you have picked up on that much before, but Judas was still at the table. The one who had said in his heart, Satan had put it in Judas's heart, to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver, was at the table when this was all going on. And yet, Jesus already knew that. And still, they broke the bread and they drank the cup. So today, what I'm asking you to think about is the person who you feel has betrayed you, has got under your skin, who's made a problem, who has potentially done something or said something to affect your countenance, affect your future, affected a relationship. I want you to let it go. If Jesus could sit there in that room with the one who would betray him and have him hung on that cross, why can't we forgive those who have wronged us and taken advantage? Because I can tell you, as long as we're believers and we're living in these earth suits, in our life there are going to be people who don't always see eye to eye with us. And they don't always understand what they're doing. Some do.